Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Email us today. Hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
Ayo.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We got a great show for you tonight.
Yeah, we do.
ABS is making CB Buckner look bad. Ohtani has a new goal this year. And we'll talk about the Final Four in the NCAA tournament. But we'll begin today's show with baseball. Then, all right, so we just finished up our first weekend of baseball, and how could you not get romantic about baseball? So what has surprised you, what are you concerned about, and what have you enjoyed?
Well, let's kind of go through concerning. We'll start with the Team USA players from WBC. Schwarber, 125, one homer.
My man.
Aaron Judge, 188, two homers.
Crushing it.
Bryce Harper, 063. Bingo. Bingo. Paul Skeens, two-thirds of an inning against the Mets on opening day, five runs. Thanks for playing, Paul. Thanks for coming, asshole. And Logan Webb, you know, 1080.
I thought you started tonight. Oh, I only started watching in the third inning.
Billy Ritter hit a three-run homer off me. Guy's been in the league 10 years, never hit a home run. Never. Concerning, that is concerning. Now, it is early. We will not engage in overreactions. That's for other shows. That's not what we do around here. No, we don't do that here. We expect those guys to be back. I didn't even mention Cal Raleigh. I forgot about Cal Raleigh. Fucking dumper. More like dumpster.
But yes, he came off the bench and beat the Yankees, though, right?
Yeah, but you know how I feel about the Yankees this year. But you know how I feel. So the cream will rise to the top, and these guys will be back. Now, you're looking at surprises. I'm surprised with the Marlins. I'm surprised with the Nationals, 3-1. I'm surprised the Phillies are 1-3. You know, there's one winless team left in Major League Baseball. Do you know who it is, perchance?
One second.
Yep.
Well, the Giants just won.
The Giants just won.
Oh, the Diamondbacks.
No, D-backs are 1-3. Oh. But they are a Western team.
Oh, not Chicago.
Not Chicago. Not Chicago. Okay. Even the White Sox, the White Sox have won before this team.
Not St. Louis?
Nope. St. Louis 2-2.
Who is it?
The A's are 0-4 in West Sacramento, born and raised. That's terrible. Terrible. So, a team that you had a little bit of expectation for. You know, Severino had a good year last year. You have Rooker. You have, you know, some good young players there. They got DeVries, that top prospect for Mason Miller. You expect good things. And 0-4. Now, again, way too early. Way too early. I expect certain teams to kind of scale back to the pack. I expect certain teams to bubble up. Like the Cubs are currently 2-2. But it's early. I mean, the National League West, you have the Dodgers at 3-1, and then you have everybody else at 1-3. I mean, what else do you need to know about this, right? You're looking at the Red Sox, you're 1-3. They're along with the White Sox. The sock drawer is a combined 2-6. Now, you expect certain teams to be there, and you expect certain teams to fall off. What have I enjoyed? I'm just happy that baseball is back, to be honest with you. Like this weekend, I've, you know, as a Met fan, I'm paying particular attention to the series. Back-to-back extra inning games. One went the Mets' way. The other one did not.
So, I watched opener in their history, I believe.
Amazing.
Over 2.3 million people tuned in for that afternoon game.
Absolutely.
On Peacock and NBC.
On Peacock. So there's something to be said about that. And how many people, I guess, suppose we can't really look at the ratings for that opener between the Giants and Yankees. This is on Netflix. You really can't look at those kind of metrics. You can look at total streams, I suppose. But then the balls of San Francisco to have the day off and then tout Robbie Ray as their opening day starter on Friday after they played opening day on Wednesday. You don't get two opening days. Why the fuck, motherfucker, why do you get two opening days? No, that's not how this works around here. So
they look like dog shit anyway.
Yeah, no, like one run over the, come on now.
They don't look like a pro team, and I don't know if that's because of their manager or what, but if you saw any of those games, just terrible fielding. Everyone looks pretty lost at the plate. Like no one got a fucking scouting report.
And it's not like maybe Schlittler they weren't familiar with, but everybody else that they've seen before, you know, Will Warren, he's been in the league. This is, you know,
I mean, you strike out Aaron Judge, you get Aaron Judge strike out four times or three times and you lose 7-0.
Yeah. But you know what? Don't look now. And the Yankees absolutely don't need him to be this hot this early. Stanton. Mm. 5 games, 2 hits in a row. Of 2 hits in a row. 2 plus hits, I should say. So that's great. That's fantastic. They need him in September and October. So it's great that he's getting off hot. You got to be careful. You just got to watch out. Because one day he's going to open up that chip bag. And he's going to be on the
floor.
No! God damn it! No!
I'm done.
I'm out. It's over. Oh, you got me. Oh, you got me, brother. But, yeah, overall, it's just, I'm happy that baseball's back. I'm not doing the overreactions. It's outside of the A's. Like, some of the teams that we expected to be dog shit are dog shit. And a lot of teams we expected to be good are good. And overall, I'm ready for this to kind of to go down, and I'm looking at it. You know, I got my popcorn because I know this is the last one before we have the lockout, and I'm just enjoying it for what it is. The inevitable.
It's inevitable. Yeah. So for me, I really was surprised at the Nationals. I mean, Cubs. I had going. I feel like they're a contender this year. And wasn't like it was one-run games. It was like 10-4. Like,
right.
The Nationals were putting up runs, too. And that was also another situation where their best player, or one of their best players, James Woods, didn't really play that well. So that really surprised me. I would be a little concerned about Mr. Paul Skeens. You know, the problem is like, you could throw as hard as you want to throw, but if your shit don't move, it's gonna get hit. It's gonna go get hit far.
You can't be hit.
And that's basically what happened. I mean, we think we saw a little bit of that in the WBC where when he faced, you know, major league hitters like Manny Machado, and you face Vlad Guerrero, and you're like, tag that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking a little grounder that hits the wall, you know? So I'll be a little concerned with him. I've enjoyed the Braves opening because last year took them a while to win a game. They've looked good. Dominic Smith hitting grand slams. All right, sure.
Good for Dom Smith.
Big Dom Smith, man. So we'll take it.
Lost his mom. Found out he lost his mom like 2 days prior. And then first at bat as a Brave. Walk off salami. You gotta love it. You gotta love it.
How could you not get romantic about baseball, man? So I've enjoyed that. Little concerned with your boy Bo Bichette. And if you're looking to opt out, you might want to turn it on a little bit. And again, I mean, it's early. You just would expect people to be a little sharper, you know, especially the really good players.
Right.
Even Aaron Judge is like, I think Kyle Raleigh's headed for a down year. We both knew. I mean, there's no way a catcher is going to do what he did last year. I mean, I stood away from him in my draft. I like Rushman, and he's playing well. Tyler Ward playing like dog shit, though, and I expected more from him. The Phillies are concerning, I think, because this is like your last go. This is your last chance, and your guys need to be firing on all cylinders, and they're just not. They're missing.
Yeah.
But it's enjoyable to, you know, watch baseball and have it back. You have guys that are, you know, competing every night. So it's welcome back.
The one thing about the Phillies is that you're gonna get Wheeler back. Like, that's the one thing. You have something to look forward to. Like, yeah, it's not great now, but you will get Wheeler back. And you figure Wheeler's an ace. Like, he's going to give you a spark. If you can get buried early. You absolutely can get buried early. But after four games, I'm not one of those people that are going to bury it. But Paul Skenes doesn't look right. You're 100% right. Fastball strays a string. He's hitting guys. He's walking guys. And that's a product of the WBC. You had to get ready for games that matter in an accelerated fashion. Now, whether or not they, you know, matter in the grand scheme of things, you know, to your professional team is another story. But you're playing for your country, and that just ramps things up. And it's not like the Four Nations where it's the All-Star break. And I've heard those ramblings, right? I've heard those rumblings that they want to transition. They propose to transition the WBC into the All-Star break instead of in the preseason. I guess, but all you're going to do is lengthen the regular season, which a lot of people think is already too long. So I don't know what that would look like. Maybe in WBC years, you don't play 162. You know, maybe that's something that needs to be taken into account. Maybe the Players Association needs to, you know, get in on that. But yeah, like, it's one of those things that it's a bad time. You know, it's a bad time to do that. And it's clear that they geeked up for the WBC, and there's a little bit of a crash down, and in 2 weeks they'll be fine because then they'll be in the rhythm of the season. But right now, it just looks like absolute basura.
Oh yeah, and O'Neill Cruz would be a little concerned with him, dude. Jesus. First step's got to be fucking back, dude. I don't know where you're going, I don't know where you're running, but then when we play center field, son, our first step is back.
Right, but that's the thing. Just because you play shortstop, just because you have a cannon for an arm, doesn't mean you're an outfielder.
No.
And it's an experiment, you know? And it's one that he's failing right now. I understand that he's got a cannon for an arm. I get it. But
I found playing the infield much easier than playing the outfield.
It is. You know, especially, like, and why are you not wearing sunglasses, man?
Bring them out there with you. Put them on your hat. Yeah,
put them on.
Put them on your jersey.
Come on. No big deal. No shame. There's no shame in it. He fucked up too. Never mind the Semyon one, and then he dropped another one. So
I don't see it. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Oh, hell.
Discover Afuera Coffee's vibrant flavors from certified Rainforest Alliance farms in Central and South America. Enjoy rich, smooth, and aromatic brews while supporting sustainability. Taste excellence with every sip. Use our promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% discount only at AfueraCoffee.com. That's AfueraCoffee.com. 15% off using our promo code DNZ.
All right, so ABS has been in full effect and the process has been smooth so far. However, it's exposing bad umpires. CB Buckner. Do you think umpires feel added pressure to get calls right?
Angel Hernandez got out at just the right time.
Oh, man.
Could you imagine if Angel Hernandez was still in Major League Baseball with this? Fuck. But you have a 54% overturn rate out of 175 attempts. Catchers are 64% successful. Hitters are 42% successful. And then pitchers, it's a small sample size. But two out of five pitcher challenges have been overturned. Now, they do feel pressure. Absolutely. They're human beings, right? They're being called out publicly for their jobs on a giant friggin' video screen, and these challenges take 30 seconds. It takes 30 seconds to look at. In 30 seconds time, you know either you're rocking it or you suck. And to be fair, let's be fair here. The keyboard warriors out there trashing umps. A lot of these guys are missing by 0.3 inches. That's barely any. That's an eyelash. And there is an element of, let's see you do it, if you're so keen on this and you're just going to talk shit from the comfort of your keyboard. You try and determine whether or not a Paul Skeens 100-mile-an-hour fastball hit the corner or not. That shit's hard. In the blink of an eye, you have a 0.1 second to react. It's either a strike or it's a ball. It's a split second. It's a microsecond of a decision. So it's a hard job. I'm not going to dispute the fact it's a hard job. But a guy like C.B. Buckner, some of these are just so egregious. Like, dude, you can't do that anymore. You can't do that. No. Absolutely not. Chad Whitson, I think, has gotten a bad grade so far. You have a few guys. I think Jordan Baker has been okay. You have a few guys that are really excelling. And it's highlighting the people, the umps that are good at their jobs. They're highlighting the umps that are actually like on top of things. And I am not sure where this goes, because the same way I've noticed the trend that players are saving their ABS challenges, umps are probably just, they're going to tighten it. They're going to try and play it as close to the vest as possible in order to not be shown up, because in effect they're being shown up, right? And we all know how thin-skinned umps can be sometimes. But it's good for baseball. You're getting the call right. Are you stepping on some toes? Are you hurting some feelings? Yeah. But at some point, for the betterment of the game, it's got to be fuck your feelings.
Well, I think anything an inch and under, you shouldn't feel bad about.
No.
I mean, that's like, okay, great. You got it right. You know. But you know, I think anything above an inch and a half, 2 inches, you gotta. But, you know, he might also be coming from the old school, because a lot of C.B. Buckner's overturns were called strike threes that he called. And you know what? Sometimes umpires in the past were a little bit more generous with the strike three call because hitters are supposed to protect, right?
Right. Anything close.
And the thing is like with Eugenio Suarez, you're getting the crowd cheering louder for the overturn than they are for the home runs that are being hit, which is interesting.
Right.
I think they shouldn't. Don't feel bad about it. I don't think they should feel bad, and I don't think they should feel added pressure. You know, you're back there trying to get it right, right? You're not trying to do it for one side or the other side. You're trying to be an impartial, you know, caller of the strike zone.
Right.
And this thing is there to help you. And that's what you should look at it as, is same thing with like all the AI and the ChatGPTs. Don't look at it as it's going to replace you in this situation.
Right.
But look at it as an aid. Like, this is helping you. Like, you know, like you said.
Got it right. Eventually get it right.
Right. But not only that, but you have guys, Paul Skenes is throwing heat, man. It's hard to see. Mm-hmm. It's hard to pick it up. And I don't fault you for being wrong. You know, I don't expect you to get all the calls right. I don't. And that goes in every sport. I don't expect the umpire to get a call right. I expect when you do get it wrong, there's a makeup down the line. I don't think umpires and referees, they don't cost teams games. And I've never been of that school. I don't believe that, you know. Every team has several opportunities in a game to score, get the upper hand. Sometimes the calls go your way, sometimes they don't.
Right.
And you telling me the statistics right there, you're saying 54%, that's half, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but like I said, we've talked about in this program before, unfortunately, we do not need an umpire anymore. You can have the umpire back there, but let the computer just call the balls and strikes. You know, unless the only other thing I could say is that if you want to have the challenge system during the regular season, but then for the playoffs have full ABS,
ooh,
that I would be on board with also.
But would the umpires union be on board with that?
I don't know, because you're about to be gone.
That's fair.
Which isn't a bad thing. I mean, you're always going to need an umpire. It's not like he's not going to be there. You need someone there.
Right.
To call the balls and strikes. You need someone there to prevent the hitter from beating the shit out of the catcher, because that could happen at some point, you know? Catcher says something stupid, you know? But the other part is, which I'd like to see what happens with umpires throwing managers out of games, how much that goes down.
Right.
Because that's a big difference, right? Like, if you don't have the umpire back there to get a call wrong, and then for the manager to argue about it, because you can't argue balls and strikes,
right,
and getting thrown out of the game, you eliminate the umpire calling the balls and strikes, then that goes away. Aaron Boone can be upset all he wants at the balls and strikes being called, but they're accurate and they're correct.
Right.
And then what do? You got to just grin and bear it, right? Fuck, we suck today. Mm-hmm.
You get it overturned, tough shit. Like, what do you can't argue with it. You're 100% right. But, you know, you do need it for check. You need an ump for check swings. You need an ump for fair foul, at least for now. Eventually, once the chip goes in the ball and all that stuff, you know, eventually.
Like tennis. It'll be like tennis. You won't need it there either.
It'll be completely Hawkeye, 100%. But, you know, in this brave new world, you still need humans. And you run the risk of that gun-shy nature. Like, where guys, like a Joe West. Like, Joe West would never go for this. Like, Cowboy Joe would have been like, fuck you and fuck your computer, little nerd.
But that was a part of baseball, right? Baseball was supposed to be that way, which is fine. Like, I didn't have a problem with it. But you're talking about a situation where we can get the call right every single time.
Right.
Like in other sports, NFL has replay. Replay is awful because most of the time they're wrong. It's still a judgment call. There's no fucking judgment call here. It's either in the strike zone or it's out of the strike zone. There's no judgment call there.
100%. And it actually will benefit the gamblers because it is more right. on the up and up. You don't have to worry about, oh, fuck, we have Mike, we have, you know, Tony Randazzo behind home plate. He's got a wide strike zone. He's going to fuck our team. But no, no, absolutely not. He can't do that anymore. Now, the base umps could. The base umps absolutely could. But the guy behind home plate, he has no way of doing that anymore. Like, he has no means of...
And I think this also hurts the pitchers, right?
Oh, completely.
Pitchers could benefit from... So that you took away the spider tack.
Uh-huh.
And now you're taking away the umpire where, you know, you work an umpire for two or three right. innings and you know, where his strike zone is and what you can do and what you can't do.
Sure.
How you can get called strikes or how you can get guys to swing for things. Now that's going away, which baseball probably wants, right? They want more scoring, so.
Right. And then, you know, like, but they've dealt with this before. Pitchers have dealt with quest tech and all of that. You know, I wonder, but this is precise. And I wonder how a guy like Greg Maddux would have dealt with something like this, because he lived just off the corner, like just enough that it looked good enough, right? And you had a guy like Charlie O'Brien back there who was a master at framing. That's the other thing. Fuck your framing. It doesn't matter if you frame it or not. Right? So, you know, what catchers were being taught to do and how catchers were being assessed in terms of their effectiveness, now that's going to change, right? Now receiving is totally different because you can't influence because all I have to do is tap my helmet. That's it.
It can't help but to smile when you see a balloon. PopStarsBalloons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events. Specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artist, the Popstars Balloon team shape balloons into custom works of art. Popstar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. Popstar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. Popstars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. Popstars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, Popstars Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, Popstars Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit PopstarBalloons.com to pop your next event.
It's a brave new world. But speaking of a brave new world, Shohei Ohtani. We've gone this far without talking about him. Well, let's dig in on Shohei. He's off to a slow start, only batting 125 with no homers or ribbies. But word on the street is the four-time MVP, two-time World Series champ, he's got his eyes on a different prize. He's looking to earn a Cy Young. What would that do for his career?
I mean, you're already talking to a guy who's a fan of his. So, I mean, this would just take... That they would just shut everybody up. Just shut everybody up. Because there's a lot of people out there that say, well, yeah, I mean, he's not Babe Ruth because X and Y and Z. And it's just like, guys, at the end of the day, we're seeing this guy do something that we've never seen. Nobody of this generation has seen. You have pitchers marveling at the idea that this guy could hit, and you have hitters going out there and saying, I can't believe he's going out there and pitching after you know, taking an at-bat. The studying that he has to do to be a pitcher and the prep time that goes into being a pitcher, and then him still going out there and being able to hit, it's absolutely incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So, to me, he's already incredible. And the idea that he's challenging himself, because he's already a two-time World Series champ, he's got four MVPs, that he's challenging himself to now go get a Cy Young Award? Like, seriously? Like, that's what you're going to do? You're going to really challenge yourself to go and do that? I'm all on board for it. I want to see it. I think he's really putting himself in rare air, upper echelon air. So, yeah, I'm all for it.
I mean, it's ambitious. I will give him that. I'll give him all the credit in the world for wanting to do this. If you're going to do it, go all the way with it, right? Like, don't half-ass it. You have to be concerned a little bit that he may push himself a little beyond what his body can do. Now, he's a phenomenal athlete. He's in great shape. But he already has had surgery on that arm, right? When he tried to pitch when he was an Angel. And, I mean, there's a reason why he's not playing the outfield anymore. For that same reason, he's protecting that arm. But you figure, as the season goes on, and as this starts to become real, and you start pushing for more, and you're pushing for longer, and you're just, you know, wearing yourself down a little bit more than you normally would, what's that going to mean in the big picture? Like, yes, you've won two consecutive World Series. You know, nothing is guaranteed. Are you going to put your personal achievement ahead of the team goal? And will management step in? And will they start to manipulate the rotation a little bit? Do they go to a six-man? Do they skip a start? Are they going to try and manage him so that he's ready for the big stage, which is October? And that's the prize for the Dodgers. These individual accolades are great, but at the end of the day, they are singularly focused on winning in October. And I think when push comes to shove, that might fall by the wayside. The personal accolades may fall short in favor of the ultimate team goal, but it's ballsy. Like, I'll give him all the credit in the world. You know, lots of guys would love to try what he's doing.
Can he do it?
That's the thing. And how much do you want this? How much are you willing to push yourself? What pain are you willing to endure? Are you going to pitch through something? Maybe you should, maybe you should. That's when the team has to weigh it. And they
do you think he can do it?
I don't know. I honestly don't know if he can do it. But I would like to see him try. I absolutely would. I mean, I've said before, it would be the ultimate weapon if he was the closer. Having him come out, that would have been insane. But if he is committed to this and this is what he wants to do, then go for it, man. Absolutely. Like, what more do you have to prove in this league?
Well, that's the whole thing. Is like, if he was to get this, what else does he need to do?
Learn how to be a switch hitter on the fly? Like, you know, like,
try. He probably could do that.
He probably could. You know, I don't know.
He throws right, he bats left. He probably could do it.
Yeah. So, it's possible.
Mike Trout could bat both ways. He just doesn't.
Rendon hit a bomb left-handed as a joke. Hammer the slow crap.
Big Fork Brands brings bold bacon sausage, paleo pork jerky, and Chicago-style sauces to your table. Enjoy rich, smoky flavors made with sustainable ingredients and chef-crafted care. Enjoy an exclusive 20% discount with our promo code DNZ. Find them at BigForkBrands.com. That's 20% off using our promo code DNZ at BigForkBrands.com.
All right, so we're down to the final four in the NCAA tournament. Duke is gone. I believe you had Duke, but Michigan, Arizona, Illinois, and UConn. Dan Hurley, you had him getting fired. They're still there. So what are your thoughts on the final four teams?
Well, we're left with...
So you don't think UConn's going to get rid of Dan Hurley anymore, right?
No. I said it was a possibility because he's an excitable fellow. And it's still a possibility because he's still an excitable fellow. Right? That's what Dan Hurley does. Like, he has a ceiling, he has a shelf life. Give it a few years and he's out on his ass. Let's be real. Mm. Let's be real here. Everybody
gets excited. Like 10, 15?
5? 2? You start not getting the recruits, and you start.
Gee, I wonder if UConn would. I wonder if North Carolina would want him.
Billy Donovan, already done.
Oh, it happened.
Yeah, it happened yesterday. Billy Donovan. So, wow. I don't. I
was. Is he going to finish the season with the Bulls?
That's a good question. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe the report is that Billy Donovan's going to take that job.
Wow.
I mean, their season's over, so it's not, you know, all he has to do is put some. You know, put a coaching staff together and say, you guys go out and recruit from it.
Wow.
I mean, it could end up being like, who could he send out there? Joakim Noah as an assistant coach? Here, go. I did this. Remember when we were in Florida? I did this. Let's go. No problem. But you're looking at Michigan, you're looking at Arizona, Illinois, and UConn. You figure UConn's got the pathway to the national title game. Michigan-Arizona is going to be a hell of a fight. Illinois will be entertaining, but I don't know if they can hang with UConn. And to be fair, what the hell is Caden Boozer doing? Let's be real. What the fuck? They're going to foul you. Just let them foul you. Just do it. Like, just let them foul you. Instead, you turn it over.
I didn't understand. I watched it live.
What the fuck?
I actually put the game on with like 3 minutes left. You know, I didn't even realize that they were down 19 at one point, which is crazy. But I thought the game was over. Yeah. And then they missed the foul shot. And I was like, oh, okay. And then there seemed to be panic in trying to get the ball up court for some fucking reason.
You're winning!
Then he got the ball. And I totally thought, like, he was going to get fouled and they were going to send him the line. He decides to try to throw it over two people. How about fake up and bounce pass, asshole? Like, wasn't your dad a pro? Like, what the fuck?
But that's the thing. Just let them foul you. Let them foul you.
They're not going to be able to steal a ball from you. Like, they're not going to be able to take it.
Unless you let them.
Right.
You did.
And they're trying to foul you.
They're trying to.
They need to stop the fucking clock.
Correct.
They're running at you to foul you. What are you doing?
A complete panic. It's all it is. It's a complete damn panic.
So shocking for a player of his caliber, from a lineage of where he's from, to do something like that.
Right. But you know what? That goes to show you that just because you have basketball pedigree doesn't mean that every moment isn't going to get to you. So, and that's fair. As of right now,
unless he thought that, the only thing I can think of is that he thought that UConn wasn't going to aggressively go after him. Like, unless he thought that UConn knows this game is over, so they're not gonna bat this pass. They're not thinking that I'm gonna throw this over their head, right?
Right.
That's the only thing I can think of is that he thought. That they were lazily coming to foul him and he could toss it over two of their tallest players' heads. It's the only thing I can think of.
Danny Hurley's teams don't do lazy. They don't. No. They don't do half-assed. They don't do soft.
No, and this was a team that was, they were down by 19.
Yeah,
and they kept playing. And a freshman hit that shot from the logo.
Unbelievable! But
their best, arguably their best player, passed it up to freshman.
But you have
their best player is having a terrible game.
No, and you got to know the time, and you got to know the score. They're gonna.
Yeah, I disagree with you. I don't know if it's just gonna be a walk in the park for UConn because Caravan is supposed to be their best player, and he's just not playing well. Huh. And Illinois can shoot. And Illinois's got height.
Illinois can shoot. Illinois's got height, but can they go up against now? You know, UConn does have that aggression. Like, they have that it factor. They've been here before. The moment's not too big for them. I think that getting through that bracket with those coaches, I think you're good. I think you are good. I know that you have Michigan in the championship game. I still have Arizona. So that's going to be a good game regardless.
Oh, I thought you had Duke.
I know I had Duke winning it, but I had Duke Arizona as my final. Duke is out. Arizona
Liz
still
is number. Liz is in first place with Michigan.
Yes. No, she is in first place with UConn.
Oh, wow.
Bold. Wow. So more correct, more points. She's running away with this. So we're gonna have to message her and get her T-shirt size for that alleged superstar T-shirt. Boom. It's on its way, Liz. Just send us your size. Illinois deserved to be there. UConn took it from Duke. Michigan and Arizona both played up to their number one seeds. And I think we are in for a good show. And I think that ultimately I'm sticking with Arizona. But I got UConn coming out the other end. My champ is done. So, I'm just going to sit back and watch the show.
Are the best four teams still in this tournament?
Is this designed to get the best teams through? I think it's more designed for the hottest teams and the healthiest teams. So
I don't think it's designed for the best four teams to get
it's
through.
Not.
It's an attrition.
Yeah.
That's why I'm asking.
I don't think so. I think that it's designed for the hottest and the healthiest. Because if that were the case, it would be chalk every year with number ones. And that it doesn't happen all the time. It happens a lot, but I wouldn't say it's something that happens so frequently that it becomes predictable. There were plenty of surprises. Now, maybe not necessarily the, mid-major surprises that we're used to in tournaments past, but, if you were expecting Iowa to make a run, if you were expecting Nebraska to make a run, and Nebraska was a 4 seed, mind you, I wasn't expecting that.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly was not. And was I expecting BYU to be out as early? No.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your fair share of surprises, but the cream did rise to the top. And it is a battle of attrition here. And we'll see how everything shakes out, but there's already movement, right? There's already coaching movement. There's probably going to be player movement coming. Will Wade already left NC State. He's going back to LSU. So LSU fired him. He goes to NC State. And then he decides, I'm going to go back to Baton Rouge. All good. All good. New AD, water under the bridge, and let's go. But, we got to stop sleeping on Texas. This is, the third consecutive tournament that they've made a decent run. Mm. So maybe we need to start thinking about Texas as a basketball school to some degree.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to say that I think Michigan and Arizona, which I said in the beginning, are above everybody else. Like, they're in another stratosphere. Like, I think the winner ultimately of that game will wind up winning the national championship as he takes a swig of his Yankee Cup.
That's right.
Now, UConn, because of how they got here, it's hard not to consider them the best team in that region. I mean, they beat Patino and St. John's, like, not in this tournament, but in the regular season. And then they beat Michigan State. Right?
Yeah.
And you had... you had just St. John's in this region. You had Kansas in this region. You had Duke in this region. You beat Duke on a... you were down 19. You're down 19 against Duke.
Yep.
You come back and beat them at the last second, showing attrition with a freshman when your best player wasn't playing very well. Right?
Yeah.
Then look at Illinois. I mean, Illinois didn't have to play Florida, but they had challenges as, you know, as much as anybody could to get here. I think if they played Florida, I think that would have been a tough game for them. But they didn't have to. They got to face Iowa. Mm-hmm. You know, so I just, to me, I would say 100%, I think three of the teams that are left are the best teams in college football. I'm college basketball. The only argument, like you said, is I would argue with Illinois, but they beat Houston.
Hmm?
In Houston. By 10. Like, what? What? Like, they did what they had to do to get here. I think their game against UConn will be a good game. But they're going to need to make shots.
Yes.
Because UConn's going to make their shots. So.
And once you get to the Final Four, it becomes a different situation because usually, you know, the court is different. And, you know, you start seeing the depth perception issues. Oh, guys that terrible. Are making shots. Brick Awful. City or air Awful. Balls. It's something to look at. But you mentioned Michigan State, and I just want to run this by you real quick. Is it time we start talking about Tom Izzo here? Tom Izzo, for 20 years, actually, no, it was close to 25 years, has lived off that 99-2000 chip.
Yeah.
Yes, he's consistent. Michigan State's always good. You know, they're always in the tournament. He's Mike Tomlin. The Steelers could not wait to get rid of Mike Tomlin. At what point do Spartan Nation, at what point does Sparty decide, you know, this is great, but we would like another national championship?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel the same thing about Rick Pitino. He did some questionable moves against Duke. I mean, you had Ruben Pray, who was 4-for-4 from three. We kind of needed three, and we don't put him back in the game in the last 5 minutes of the game, man. We have Dylan Darling take the final shot and way off the mark. Didn't even barely touch the rim. Some of these old timers get stuck in their ways and their beliefs. They know how to put a team together and definitely know how to coach a team and get to the NCAA tournament. Come on. I think we would both agree that Pitino is a better coach than Shire. I think we would both...
at this point in his career, yeah.
I think we would both, even though Tom Izzo's living off of a championship from 25 years ago, I think we both would say that Tom Izzo is a better coach than Shire.
Yes, at this point in his career, yeah. Because what, Shire's what, 2 years, 3 years? Something like that?
Yeah, but I think this is back-to-back Elite Eights for him.
Yeah.
I think. So, if you give Rick Pitino the team that Shire has, if you give Tom Izzo the team that Shire has, I think they get to the Final Four, right? I think they get to the championship. Like, I just think it's, you know, it's just circumstance. It's player. I don't know if the grass is greener on the other side, Z. I don't know if getting rid of Tom Izzo, you know, you're Michigan State, right? You're not Duke. You're not Carolina. You're Michigan State. There's another school that's just as good as you. Michigan is just as good, if not better, at basketball, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure they might have. They have a championship the last 25 years, I think.
So
Juwan Howard went with his team? I think he did.
Yeah. And then they got there with Beilein, I think. I'm pretty sure they got there with John Beilein, too.
So I don't know, like St. John's. St. John's ain't getting rid of Rick Pitino.
No.
No way, man. No way. I mean, North Carolina has the luxury of getting rid of Hubert Davis and then chasing Billy Donovan, chasing Steve Kerr. Yes. But can Michigan State do that? Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if they can.
I don't know. But, you know, at the same time, like, they... their program is such that it's pretty bulletproof. And eventually he's going to have to go, right? Like, whether it's retirement or firing, you know, he's not going to live forever. And
I mean, look at Alabama. You get rid of Nick Saban, and you're snipping a national title game.
Right. No, well,
this is...
no, because they didn't. They should have went and they should have got Kirby Smart when they had the chance.
Right. And then you're Alabama. You are college football, man. But you got a guy. I don't think a guy like Izzo is replaceable. I don't think a guy like Bill Self. Even Bill Self in Kansas. Kansas gonna get another Bill Self, man?
My man's
been to like 27 straight NCAA tournaments, man.
Yeah. Fuck. What you can't do is try to overcorrect something. You can't try to find the anti-Izzo. Right? And I don't think that... I mean, I don't know John Shire as a person, but I think they wanted to find somebody who carried on Krzyzewski's legacy without necessarily being Mike Krzyzewski. Right? They wanted the work ethic, they wanted the plan, but I think they wanted the person who can relate to the players and who can, you know, be that guy in the NIL and AAU landscape of college basketball. And I don't know, it's a numbers game. It's a matter of time, and I think eventually, you know, Tom Izzo's time will run up, because that's light.
Well, the thing I'll say to kind of agree with you is that I don't think Tom Izzo will win another national title.
No,
because the team he had this year was primed for it. I even got talked into picking them to win in another bracket because of how talented this team was. And you can't get beat by UConn, man.
No.
You can't get beat by UConn. But, you know, it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
Is your hair thinning or is your hairline receding? Scalp micropigmentation will fill in the areas where your hair is missing by creating a short buzz cut look. Micropigmentation is a non-invasive procedure that will create the illusion of hair follicles for 7 to 10 years. For people with alopecia, this could be a permanent fix. For people with scars on their scalp, this is a great way to camouflage a scar. Don't lose confidence or feel like you need to wear a hat wherever you go. Marquez Studio is located in the Bronx and is open for all your scalp micropigmentation needs. Consultations are free and appointments can be made any day of the week. Get your hairline back with scalp micropigmentation. The techs at Marquez Studio have over 30 years of hair cutting experience and can assist you with all of your questions. Call to schedule a consultation today, 646-221-8728. You can also visit them on Instagram at Bronx Marquez to see their gallery and view all their satisfied customers. Again, that is Marquez Studio, located in the Bronx, New York, 646-221-8728.
So, moving on to some interesting NBA news. You know, at one point, the Houston Rockets were title contenders. But now, they're close to being in the play-in tournament for the NBA playoffs. And Z, everything seemed to go south around the All-Star break, when Kevin Durant was accused of having a burner account on X, where he criticized teammates and other players. What experience is Kevin Durant chasing now?
Oh my god. Apparently,
how to fuck friends and alienate people.
Allegedly, his burner account was at GetHigher77 on X. And, you know, he was just roasting NBA teammates, roasting coaches, roasting players, and...
What was the account's name again?
GetHigher77. So...
He's number 7, isn't he?
He is. That he is. So, you know, it's... Do we need to get Kevin Durant a hobby? Is that what this is?
I think we need to get Kevin Durant on the show.
Yeah. You know...
We'll call him John Durant.
There we go. So, we'd love to have you. But it's such thin-skinned bullshit that... It is totally plausible because he's done it before. Like, this is almost 10 years ago, 2017. He was alleged to have a burner account where he was trashing players and teammates and hyping himself up. Like, this is Kevin Durant's move. After a while, it's just what he does. So, currently they have a 10-point lead on the Knicks, but if you're looking at it, San Antonio's pulling away, man. Like, they're gone. It's San Antonio's 57-18. That shit's done. That's done. It's over. Like, congratulations to the Spurs for the Southwest Conference, or the Southwest Division win. You know, it's very middle of the pack. And I find, get this, the Rockets are 45-29. The Suns are 42-33.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's amazing to me. That is absolutely amazing to me.
And all that salary they dumped.
And they're now only 3 games worse. Only 3 fewer wins.
Insane.
Than the Rockets.
Insane.
That's amazing to me. But, you know.
And that just goes to show you, he's just a name.
Yeah.
It's a name. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, they look at the Julius Randle and Karl Anthony Towns trade. They're the same player. They're the same fucking player.
With Kevin Durant, you know, the other thing you have to concern yourself with is that, you know, he's getting older. Like, this isn't 10 years ago, right? You're not Easy Money Sniper anymore. Like, that's not who you are. You're the guy who's closer to the end than the beginning. And for you to still do the same old shit, like, that's, have you not grown at all as a person? Certainly not as a teammate, because that's, you know, of course shit's going to go south, because who's going to trust you now? Like, who in that locker room is going to go to bat for Kevin Durant? Ime Udoka? Like, who's doing it? Not the players. Not the players that he threw under the bus. So, you know, it's just... It's predictable on his part. And it's unfortunate. But... It's time to just...
I just don't know what you get out of it, man. What do you get out of having a burner account where you can go on social media and trash your team, your players, and put yourself up? It's a game to you?
Yeah.
Well, it's just a joke?
Right. Well, he makes himself look better because he's puffing up, you know, he's puffing himself out like he did in the past, talking about how great Durant is and how if only the other players would pull their weight. Yeah. You know, that's the problem. Really, that's the problem. But, yeah, it's just thin-skinned bullshit. And then you're going to fight with people in the comments? Come on. Dude.
You doing this, like, on the bus on the way to the fucking airport?
Yeah. Are you in the are you on the toilet, dude? Is this what you do in the morning?
Are you laying in your $20 million home, sitting on the couch, doing this shit?
So, what is your schedule? It's like, wake up, have protein shake, take shit, and then just troll people on Twitter, and then go to your first workout? Like, is that, like, where do you fit it in? I would just like to know, what's the itinerary for the day? Like, is it before lunch or after lunch? Like, when are you going
to
start?
But also, like, what are you getting out of this? Like, this is fun to you?
Clearly he likes rage baiting people. It's just what he wants to do. He just wants to get under people's skin, and he's good at it. It's effective, clearly. But the problem is that he's getting under his own team's skin. That's no good. You use your powers for good. Like, be Dylan Brooks. I'm pretty sure the Dylan Brooks teammates like him. I'm pretty sure the Dylan Brooks' teammates would play for him. Because, yeah, he's one of those guys that you hate it when he's on the other team. Sometimes I wonder if people just hate if Kevin Durant's on their team. It's like, oh, shit. Not again. We got this fucking guy.
Old Glory offers over 300,000 items for music, sports, entertainment, and pop culture fans, featuring officially licensed merch from iconic bands and top sports teams. Discover your perfect fan gear and save with our exclusive discount at oldglory.com. Enter the promo code DNZ at oldglory.com and save 15% off any product. That's oldglory.com. Enter the promo code DNZ and start saving.
We were talking about Major League Baseball umpires before, but we got to talk about this story with the NFL Referee Association. Apparently, negotiations are so far apart between the refs, who are part-time, mind you, and the NFL, that they are already starting to hire replacement refs. So, yes, this multi-billion dollar league that is pretty much funded by and kowtowing to gambling has a bunch of replacement refs and scabs ready to go for this year. How's this going to go?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the thought process is here. NFL is one of those sports where you really do need a referee or an official that knows the game well. Not only knows the game well, but you got to really know how players play.
Right.
And when I say that is, like, you got to know how a corner cheats. You got to be able to look at inside runs and see where the holds are. You've got to know, you know, when defensive players are pushing too far past the 5-yard line, you know, for illegal contact. Like, you just got to know. You got to be able to feel the game and feel where the game's going. You know, we talked earlier in the show about Major League Baseball officials and how, yeah, at some point they're probably going to be replaced, right? At some point we're going to be able to just go to ABS and go to line judge and know all the calls. That's not the case in football. In football, you really need someone looking at the game, looking at the players, understanding all the rules, being able to spot the ball, knowing the difference between offensive pass interference, defensive pass interference, knowing the difference between a shared possession, an incomplete pass, an interception. You got to know those things, you know?
Right.
We had the Fail Mary happen the last time that we had replacement officials, and the new officials were there the following week. You don't want situations like that. They're just kind of embarrassing. But the NFL is so arrogant about their product that they're willing to toe this line, honestly, for too long. So I think this is a mistake. I think it's going to go down the same road as last time. It's going to take really bad calls and someone really losing their cool or someone really losing down in the situation to get the actual refs back. And it's pretty sad, you know? I really don't understand why the NFL is choosing to play a game in Australia. Seems pretty silly to me. You know, their market's no bigger than Texas, and yet you got teams that are going to spend more than 16 hours, or actually more than 32 hours on a plane trying to get there and home. For what purpose? I don't know. Seems kind of silly to me, but yeah, let's hire replacement refs. That makes sense. Right.
Well, it's also another way for the expansion of replay. Because now these guys need all the help they can fucking get.
They don't work, okay, though. Replay in the NFL does not work.
No, I know.
I don't know what a catch is.
No.
If I don't know what a catch is a scab going to know what a catch is?
What's a football move?
Great question. I don't know.
It's a two-question test.
Falling to the floor is not a football move.
Right. What is surviving the ground? A three-question football test. There you go. Like, if you can answer these questions and actually sound like you know what the fuck you're talking about, we'll move you on to the next phase of the interview process. There you go. How's that sound? Does that work for you? Okay. Fantastic. But... yeah, they're vetting college refs to kind of take over. And, you know, it's not the same rules. You're not playing with the same rules. So you're already behind the eight balls that you have to teach these guys on the fly. And, you know, like, they're at least referees. They understand, like, you don't have to show them, okay, this is where you line up. So at least you have that. But it's a different game. College is a different game. We're aware of this. And the little nuances and the little idiosyncrasies that make college and make the pros, it will inevitably bite somebody in the ass. Like, that's just the way it is. You know, yes, there's replay. But how many times has replay been proven inconclusive? When we can see it plain as day, but No, it was just a micrometer. It was an eighth of an inch. And no, but if you have to zoom in that closely, what are we doing here? So the worst thing that could happen is that something as egregious as the Fail Mary happens and the NFL Referees Association gets exactly what it wants. You know, that's... you have to go through that. You're going to have gamblers taking a bath. And then eventually these guys are going to get paid. So why not be proactive and pay them ahead of time? And, you know, this is the time to negotiate. They want an exorbitant amount of money. You don't want that. Right? They're not full time.
I don't understand why they're so reluctant to make them full time.
Because then they have to pay them benefits and stuff. Like, it's like, why does WWE refer to their wrestlers as independent contractors? Because then they'd have to pay them health insurance and shit like that.
They pay them now? Don't they get paid pretty good?
They get paid really well, but they have to get their own insurance. They have to make their own appointments. They have to do all those things. But like, that's this,
fine. You're making millions of dollars, and that's fine, right?
Right. But for a guy like Ed Hockley, who's a lawyer, could you imagine, first of all, can you imagine looking at the other side of a courtroom and seeing Ed Hockley as your fucking, you know, as the defense attorney with those arms? Shit, I'm guilty. But even if I'm not guilty, I'm guilty. That man's going to kick my ass. But a lot of lawyers, man. Like, it's a lot of... you know, it's just kind of how it is. And I never understood why they weren't full-time to begin with. It doesn't make sense to me. But there would have to be some concessions on their part if you want this money, you're going to have to go. I think you'd have to go full time. Or there would have to be like a grading policy a la the ABS, like, that you have to, you have to abide by. I don't know. Like, they're with that money comes some strings that you need to attach to that. And I don't know necessarily if the refs are willing to do that, because I know that NFL doesn't want to part with that money.
Right.
So we'll see. It's a matter of time. Something bad is going to happen. It's going to happen. Just buckle up and be ready, because like the lockout in baseball, a catastrophe is inevitable in the
inevitable.
NFL.
It's inevitable.
Inevitable.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
Bullshit or no shit? We're going to debunk this week's most controversial topics right . All right, boys and girls, we have some statements, and they're either bullshit or no shit. Bullshit or no shit, number one. Boba Fett deserves to be booed by New York Met fans.
Well, according to him, he says that he's surprised it didn't start sooner. 105 batting average with 3 RBIs and 2 hits.
Ooh.
And he's playing third base.
Ooh. Poorly.
Ooh. Oh, man. I don't know if this was thought out very well by Mr. Bichette. I'm going to say no shit. They totally have a right to boo his ass. They paid for the ticket. He's earning a shit ton of money. And his contract's pretty short, so he really need to get his shit together sooner than later. So, yeah, no shit.
I'm going to go bullshit on this one from the standpoint of it's only 19 at-bats. He's learning a new position on the fly, and he's throwing to a first baseman who is not a first baseman. Who's already got Achilles problems, and he's not.
How hard. It's incredibly hard.
It's incredibly hard. It's good. Tell him, Wash. It's incredibly hard. And Polanco's already dealing with Achilles problems, so Vientos is probably going to be up there at first base now. Or Beatty, a guy who's not a first baseman. Doesn't matter, because you let your first baseman walk to fucking Baltimore. And he just hit a home run off of Jacob deGrom, mind you. So congratulations, Pete. But
I'm glad I benched Tyler Ward today. That really worked out well. Fucker.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Zach.
4 for 5.
But yeah, no, I think it's a little too early. Credit to Bo Bichette for wearing it, because that's going to endear you to the fans. Because if he fought the fans on this one, oh, that would have been a terrible idea.
Oh, no.
If he came out with, nah, fuck you, it's only 19 at-bats, shit, man, what are we doing? I said, fuck you, Joker. I do it myself.
I do it myself.
But no, he's winning himself in the good graces of the fans, because when he breaks out of it, because he's too good of a baseball player to stay mired in this all year, he will have the fans backing. Now, the problem is it's only for a year. That motherfucker's opting out. Let's be real here. This is a 1-year contract, people. So, take that for what it will. But kudos to Bo Bichette. Like, that is a smart decision on his part, but a little premature by Met fans. Well, what can you say? The Met fans also were chanting DUI at Marcell Ozuna over the weekend. Shit, man. That's cold-blooded right there. I respect it because it's creative, but that's also extremely cold-blooded.
I respect it, but...
I respect it, but come on, guys. Bullshit or no shit, number two, Tony Vitello regrets taking the San Francisco Giants coaching job.
No shit. I mean, it was like going to College World Series, probably going to college bars. Everybody was cheering him on all the time. First of all, your team's not very good.
No.
And you look like you're out of your depth. Glad to see they scored in the last game. Felt like that was really important. How did the Yankees come to town and wipe the floor with you? You're in a really tough division. You got the Padres, Dodgers. Fuck.
Jeez.
Yeah, so I'm saying no shit.
You went from a program in Tennessee, which is a perennial power, to this. You're being interviewed in the dugout talking about how guys are closer to you in age than they would have been if you stayed in college, and you can't really yell at them like you would. It reminds me of Carlos Tosca when he was with the Toronto Blue Jays, and Toronto Blue Jay players were just like, fuck you, man, you never played. Shut the fuck up. Like, we're pros, you're not. We're in the show, you're not. And I, you know, it makes you wonder how long it's going to be before something like that happens. And, you know, all you need to know is that the best hitter on the team is Rafa Devers with a .214 batting average.
My man,
pots and pans. But it's, you know, that's the thing. You got to deal with Devers. You got to deal with Adames. You got to deal with Arise. You have veterans on this team. You have to deal with Chapman. You have Robbie Ray. You have, you know,
Webb.
Chelsea Bader, for what it's worth. Like, are they
going to take out? Going to take him out? Fuck back in the dugout. My command of shit.
Go back to Knoxville, college boy. Shit. No, it's totally no shit. And you know what? It just reinforces the fact that the Giants don't seem to really know what they're doing. And I think that stems from Buster Posey really not knowing what he's doing.
I think they're a little strapped. I think
the finances.
They wanted to have Aaron Judge there. Offered him the sun and the moon and the stars, and he was like, nah, man.
I'm good.
Like, then they had a renege on the Correa deal. Like, they've been striking out trying to get a star there. They didn't get Ohtani.
Nope.
Like, they've been losing out on top flight free agents.
Yeah.
And I get what he's doing. He's got to try something out of the box. He's got to try something different because you're just not going to get players.
Right.
You make the trade for Devers and you're like, fuck, okay, we got a guy. Like, we got a fucking guy. We got a third or fourth hitter.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to get the top manager. I don't want to go get Bochy again. Let me try the college guy. Maybe he can bring something different here. Like, he's just trying different. I'm not a Buster Posey fan. I don't like Buster Posey at all. I think he thinks he's hot shit.
Yeah.
But he's got to try something.
My question is this. What was wrong with Gabe Kapler? What was wrong with Gabe Kapler? He took a dog-shit team, and they almost won the division. Actually, they won the division that year.
Too strong. Intimidating.
Yeah. Doesn't have an ugly girlfriend. Does not lack for confidence.
Right.
Understood. So, yeah, you let a guy who was actually demonstrating that he was competent in his job leave. Makes no sense to me. Now, granted, Gabe Kapler is once again not a manager. He's actually... I think he's doing content creation somewhere, but it's, you know, he might be working
painting for, houses now.
Yeah, he might be working for MLB Network.
I think it's home at Home Depot.
Nah, but it's one of those things that you had this guy you identified him as the manager of the future. You identified him as where you want him to go in the organization. And then you kind of abandoned that. And you kind of lost, you know, you kind of went rudderless after that. And I don't know how you recover from this. Because you bring in a guy who has never even managed in the minors. And you expect him to lead a group of men who are in the show. And yeah, I get it. They're strapped for cash and they're strapped for stars. They did bring in Willy Adames. Say, you know, whether or not you think he's a star is another thing altogether, because they're paying him.
Bombs.
Yeah. They're paying him to be a star, right? They have Chapman. He can be a star. You trade it for Devers. Okay. Like, you're still trying to replace Barry fucking Bond. Like, that's something that your organization is kind of chasing, you know? And you had it for a little while with Posey, right? With Brandon Belt, with those teams in the early 2010s, with Brian Wilson and, you know, Lincecum. Like, you had something. And now you're kind of paying for that. So, you're in the wilderness right now. You're in the forest. And like Ted Lasso says, the story never ends in the dark forest. It's something you endure to get to the other side.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at Fade Route DNZ and our Instagram poll at Fade Route Podcast. And you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote is a shout out of this year's show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
That would be the New York Rangers. Just end the season already. They're beating the Devils. Bully, bully. Bully for you. God damn it. Can we please just end this nightmare of a 100th anniversary season? But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week? D.
Oh man, there's so many to choose from.
Yeah,
let's start off.
It's a good week for us.
Let's start off with Kai Boozer.
Yeah.
The Duke guard who, in the closing seconds of the Elite Eight game against UConn, instead of just holding the ball and getting fouled like UConn was delighted to do, you decide to try to throw it over two guys that are over 6'3". Ball's tipped, brought up court, and the three wins the game for the opposing team.
Oops.
Your brother's on this team. Your father played for this team. Your father's a pro. You're going to go pro. You're going to get drafted. Just hold the fucking basketball.
One job.
Kai Boozer. You are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, Rick Pitino. Skip. St. John's head coach. Ruben Prey, 4-for-4 from three, lighting it up, playing out of his mind this whole tournament. You're down. You're struggling to get buckets. Last 5 minutes of the game, Ruben Prey gets no minutes. has only 12 minutes in the game. No, he played 14 minutes while Sanin played 12 minutes and Sanin had no points. Like, oops. Come on. Skip. Gotta let Ruben Pray get in the game and give you a chance. I don't want Dylan Darling taking the final shot. We need Ruben Pray taking that shot. Rick Pitino, you are my Legend Superstar of the Week. And last but not least, Arid motherfucking Glenn.
Oh my
god. The head coach of the New York Jets.
Oh my god.
When asked what you thought about Geno Smith being the quarterback of your team this year, you confidently said, "I believe Geno Smith can take us to the promised land. Get this man a drug test, and this will be the final season of you head coaching the New York Jets." Like, what the fuck, man? Just listen. Just say, Geno Smith is a very good quarterback. We look forward to having him on the team this year. We believe he can help us win some games. End quote. How hard is that? The promised land? The fuck is that? Where is it? I can't even see it. It's so far down the road. I can't even see it. Why would you say that? Gosh damn it. Aaron Glenn, you, my latest superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
Dante Moore just re-upped for 2 more years. So did Arch Manning. So sorry, Arch Manning might be going to the UFL now. So if that's the promised land, then we need
what
to work
on.
What
did he just say?
What are you talking about? You know, you know the media department was just like, what? How am I going to walk this back?
That's the other, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was like, it's almost like they're trying to make headlines.
Yeah. Like, it sounds about right.
Like, did he get any coaching before that interview? They're like, just go wing it. Say something outlandish. Let's get on the back page. Like, why would you say that?
It makes
none of sense. Even if you believed it, why would you say that?
Are you high or something?
Geno Smith, who just, first of all, he was 2 hours away from getting cut.
Right.
And you fucking trade for him.
You got me, man.
What are you doing?
You got me. And then you're doubling down on this. You're absolutely doubling down on it. It makes no sense.
It's like no coach that they have could ever just be honest. No. It reminded me of Zach Wilson. It reminded me of the Zach Wilson conversations. Zach's our quarterback. He's our guy. I just believe he needs a little bit more. I think he needs a little bit more time. You know, you're not seeing it, but I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it in the tapes. I'm seeing it in practice. He's this close. He's this close. These are fucking things Robert Saleh said. He's this close. I'm telling you guys, he's this close. It's going to be great. That was 2 teams ago.
Right, because that's the thing. Like, we trust Robert Saleh to evaluate quarterbacks as a former defensive coordinator. And another one, as a former defensive coordinator, current head coach, do we really trust Aaron Glenn to do that? Now,
not when you say stupid shit like that.
Even if Frank Reich said it. You're like, okay, maybe you give Frank Reich a loop.
Frank Reich's another guy. He's talking about fucking getting Carson Wentz. Dude. Slow your roll.
I think, thankfully for them, he went back to Minnesota.
Like, so now, did he say that in the job interview? Like, when they brought him in to talk to him? So Frank, you know, we have a little bit hole of a quarterback right now. You know,
I got the guy.
right. Is that not how it happened? You're like, Frank, so what are you thinking? Like, what are you thinking?
I got a guy. Listen. nobody wants to touch him. Okay? I know he just had shoulder surgery. He had a terrible year last year. Hear me out. Carson Wentz.
Get out.
Boom.
Get out. Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Get out.
Do you validate?
Yeah.
Like, really? Like,
Somebody say, oh my god.
Luckily, someone was wise enough to be like, all right, we're not going to do that. But
No.
Here, no. I got a better idea for you.
You said
the deadline's 5 o'clock. We could trade for Geno Smith. We got to do it quick because I think they're going to cut him at 5 and then we got no chance. Why do you say we have no chance? Because he won't sign here. Oh, no, he won't. I know he won't. Quickly, make that trade. What's it going to cost us? 5th round, 6th round? It'll probably cost us a 6th, 7th. We'll send a pick back. We'll send a pick back. That'll really juice it up.
I ain't so parking out right. I got you now.
It's like, excuse me, sir. Got the Jets on the phone, and they're asking for us. They want to trade for Smith.
Smith?
Geno?
Yeah.
Is that a prank call? No, they sound serious. In fact, they're offering us 2 draft picks for him.
What?
Did you file the paperwork yet to cut him? No. Shred it. Send him to New York. Quickly. When you get the answer you're looking for, hang up.
Hang up. Thank you, Billy Bean. Oh, my God. Man. Jesus Christ.
Fuck, man. What is wrong with the shit that goes on there?
This is why.
He could take us to the promised land. Because he's taken so many teams there, Z. He's taken so many people to the promised land.
If the promised land is the number one pick, then yes.
If
he's Good Luck Chuck, right? He could be Good Luck Chuck.
Oh.
He was there.
I'm reading
in Seattle.
Into it incorrectly. That's my problem.
So,
I'm not catching the undertones.
Right. They're looking at it from the standpoint of he was in Seattle. They got rid of him. And then Sam Darnold is there and they won a Super Bowl.
The team he was on got the number one pick.
Right.
That's the promised land. The promised land is the number one pick.
He's the kiss of death. He's the Good Luck Chuck for them. The problem is that they're the Jets. And Dante Moore, as I already said, he's not coming out. He's not going to play for the Jets. The Mannings will never, ever let one of their own play for the Jets.
I will throw my son off of a cliff before I let him put on that uniform.
God damn it.
I will cut off his right arm.
No.
No way in hell. Over my dead body.
Not. If Peyton wouldn't let, if they wouldn't let Peyton go, they're not letting Arch go. And sure as hell, if they don't let Arch go, they're not letting Marshall go. But it's not happening. So kiss that dream goodbye, Jet fans. But for my alleged superstars, I've got 2 honorable mentions and 3 good ones. I might have more than that. But the U.S. men's national team, they just lost to Portugal tonight. They lost 5-2 to Belgium.
Studs.
They look like dog shit. Complete and utter dog shit. And we are the host of the World Cup this year. Well, one of the 3 hosts of the World Cup this year. And I stand by my statement. The U.S. men's national team will not make it out of the qualifier. Turkey won their qualifier. They're in Group D. So the Socceroos and Turkey, look for them to advance. You heard it here first. U.S. men's national team, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number 2, the Orlando Magic, suffering their largest loss in franchise history. 139-87. A 52-point blowout. Orlando Magic, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number 3, the San Francisco Giants. 1 run in your series against the Yankees. You look completely inept, and your coach looks like he should have stayed in Knoxville. San Francisco Giants, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And I've got some bonus honorable mentions. The Vegas Golden Knights firing head coach Bruce Cassidy, hiring John Tortorella with 8 games to go in the season. Good job, guys. Tiger Woods, Tiger Woohoo. DUI, my man, Tiger. What the hell? Didn't you learn from last time, man? Jesus Christ. Jade and Ivy cut by the Bulls after the anti-gay, anti-trans comments after he was just acquired from the Pistons in February. Methinks that the Pistons knew something the Bulls didn't. And the pièce de résistance, I'm watching the replay right now, the Italian men's national team, they're going to miss their third consecutive World Cup. They lost to Bosnia in Pens 4-1. Vaffanculo, guys. We have so many. Go to our Instagram poll at Favorite Podcast. Go to our X poll at Favorite DNZ and vote. And vote. There may be so many that I got to put up multiple polls. Let's see what we can do. But for our nominees,
you're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.